You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
And I'm in that collaborative partners studios, WGBH partner station in Boston, taking part in the events surrounding the 25th anniversary of the MIT Media Lab. Yesterday, we talked with Nicholas Negroponte, the founder of the Media Lab, and we conjured up the soundscape of the primitive, nerdy 1980s. Here's another one.
When you look at healthcare reform.
Human teleportation, molecular decimation, breakdown, and reformation is inherently purging.
And purge they did back in the 80s. It's that radical scientific spirit that inspired the formation of the Media Lab. And the last quarter century has witnessed a tectonic shift in media distribution, media creation, and all media. Today, though, the traditional media struggles with the changes to its business model and is really something of a sideshow in the digital revolution. Being digital is becoming a biological fact as technology is driving medicine, from improving the healthcare system's record-keeping bureaucracies to merging robotics with prosthetics. I sat down this week and spoke with Frank Moss, the current director of the Media Lab, to talk about the lab's revolutionary initiatives in the fields of health and medicine.
When you look at healthcare reform and what we think about in terms of healthcare today, it simply is, you know, trying to straighten out the curve of cost. So, you know, we don't break ourselves within the next few years. But if we go in the same direction, we're going to break ourselves in a decade. And at the Media Lab, we believe that the only answer is to empower ordinary people to take total control of their own health. The system itself has underestimated the capability of patients to really participate on an equal basis with physicians and others. So at the Media Lab, we're doing what we did for civic journalism, for learning, for creativity. We're doing the same thing for health. We're trying to create a revolution where people can take total control and shrink this asymmetry that exists today between medical professionals and ordinary people.
And that means using social networking, digital devices to both monitor people's health almost minute to minute, to aggregate health records and to make sure that doctors have up-to-date information and create more of a collaborative relationship between doctors and patients using these tools.
It certainly does, John, but it goes even further than that. And as you know, at the Media Lab, we're always radical in our thinking, and this requires radical thinking. As far as the information about ourselves goes, that's exploding literally as we speak. And we think about electronic medical records. But think of all the information that's going to come from the kind of electronic nervous system that's surrounding us today. Everything you eat, everything you do, where you are, how many calories you burn, how many calories you ate during the day. And so your electronic medical record is about to become huge. And what we aim to do is give ordinary people total control of and ownership over that information. And when you do, it means just not the ability to access it, but the ability to understand it and the ability to act on it. And so this is really a revolution whereby ordinary people not only have access to this information, but can really make sense of it. Can you understand what it really means to take your medications on time? And if you don't, what is it? You know, what are the implications for that?
And those implications are delivered in instant feedback through some of the devices and things that you're working on even today at the lab. You know, Marvin Minsky, like it seems like more than a decade ago, suggested that, you know, electronics was how human beings are evolving. And I didn't really believe it at the time, but as you say, this electronic nerve system that surrounds us, I think that was how I quoted you just a moment ago, I begin to see that this evolutionary idea of humans and tools is real.
Yeah, it's becoming real. It doesn't mean that we're going to become cyborgs or that machines necessarily will become smarter than people. Years ago, of course, the artificial intelligence gurus here at MIT established that as the goal. I don't think that's the goal. With this electronic nervous system that's emerging, I think the role of computers is to make people smarter and to enable us to grasp and embrace all this information and use it to control our own health, to control our finances, and ultimately to control our happiness. So it's all about really giving people this ability to understand, grasp, and act on this information in a way that's quite frankly, in their own self-interest. And I think my belief, and I think it's the belief of the lab, is that if we empower people, this will transform society from the bottom up.
You know, wandering around the lab these days, there are some places you can go where it looks like some of the researchers and scientists really want to redesign the body completely. I'm speaking particularly of Professor Hugh Herr's work in biomechatronics. I believe he invented that discipline, and now he wants to redefine legs and arms and God knows what else.
Well, it's not just redefine. In many ways, it's replicate. You know, I don't think we necessarily want to make machines that replicate the human brain. I'm not sure that that would be good for us or for society in the long run, but if you lose a leg or you lose an arm or you lose your mobility as you grow older, we now are in the position, as Professor Herr has shown, to model exactly what the human body is and then effectively to create robots which contain computers and sensors and springs and motors which replicate the actual motion, the dynamics of a human appendage or human joint. And the ability to do that, I think, is all for the good. Professor Herr, of course, benefits from it because he lost both of his legs as a youth. But I think we all will benefit from it as we grow older. And we want to keep out of these wheelchairs and keep moving because that's the key to long-term health.
And finally, you know, the lab in some sense is about the relationship between humans and machines. How would you assess the relationship of humans and their machines 25 years after the founding of the Media Lab?
Well, I think if you look back to 1985, we thought about humans as basically users and machines as tools. In those days, they were used basically for computation, you know, and it was becoming more personal with spreadsheets. That's about as far as we've gotten. And they began to be used for communication. But today, I think humans and machines are forming more of a, and thanks to the work at the lab and elsewhere, more of a symbiotic relationship where these machines are helpful partners, not just sophisticated tools, but they can live as part of us, they can live with us, and they can help us. I think it's going to make what we see today and that we're amazed by, quite frankly, seem like nothing in just a few years.
And as the current director of the Media Lab, you have a pretty darn good seat to observe that future unfolding. Frank Moss, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, John. It's always a pleasure.
25 years of the Media Lab. What do you think is the most revolutionary change in media? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.